I really like the new mic.
You sound like you lost weight.
Yeah. Thanks. I was hoping you'd notice. This is episode 140 on November 19th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Oh, Matt, we're back. And we're another episode. I can't believe this is our 140th episode, give or take a few.
I'm drinking a celebratory beer.
Woohoo! Yeah, I was...
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, I'm going to cheers for you. Ready?
All right.
Did you hear that?
Yep, I heard that.
Yeah, that was the sound of a beer clanking against the bowl of my ice cream.
I'm going to take a sip of my, I guess, apple-juiced watered-down water.
Yuck.
It's actually, it's pretty good. I like it. It's an acquired thing. Beats soda. Well,
yeah, anything beats soda. Yeah.
So, well, yeah, I mean, speaking of looking slimmer. No, I'm just kidding. How are you doing, man?
Good.
What you been up to?
Dude, I'm in full-on iPhoneography mode.
Score.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a combination of our Facebook group. It's just awesome and inspiring. Our last few Tiny Shutter episodes, I think, have been pretty good. There's cool new apps to play with. I'm trying to figure out what kind of lenses I want to use with my phone. I put on Facebook yesterday, I decided to buy a mount for my Moment lens already own. I just don't have a mount for the iPhone 6S Plus, so I got a mount coming.
All right.
And I think I'm just going to stop there for right now and kind of see how that goes. I said in my Facebook post that I was probably going to buy the Moment case because I think it looks pretty sweet and I think I would like it. But someone posted another thing about that stylus
lens
and case, and goodness gracious, that stuff looks really amazing. So now I really got to think about what I want to do.
Well, I'll say this real quick. I'm getting one for Christmas.
That's what I was thinking I might do.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, I have to go up to Maryland and wait for my in-laws to get there before I can get it.
Oh,
I know.
But yeah. So I got, you know, all that stuff going on. Shooting. I've been fortunate to get out and take some pictures this past weekend. We managed to get out and do a lot of hiking. Even though I complained about my back on the last episode, I managed to get to a chiropractor and get straightened out.
Yeah,
relieve some of that discomfort. And hiking actually seemed to help. So we went hiking and went to some pretty awesome places that we hadn't been to before. And I came home with some really great pictures. And before the show, I was mentioning to you guys that I've been also experimenting this past week with a different way of processing my photos.
Well, let me set that up. You said that you were not going to be shooting HDR, and there was this ominous gasp, like, what?
All right, so I still love Vivid HDR. I really do. And whenever I have the opportunity to like take my time with my photography and use like the little tripod mount for the phone, then I will shoot HDR. But I've been noticing that when you really kind of look at these HDR photos, especially when you shoot them handheld, they're really, really, really soft. And it, for some reason, it bothers me. I think it's more noticeable because I have an iPhone 6S Plus, so I see all the photos bigger now.
And with it being bigger form factor, you think you'd have more control over it?
Well, I guess that doesn't really play into it for me, but I don't know. They're just really soft pictures, and it just really bothers me that the photos end up looking more like paintings than they do a photograph. So, like this past weekend, I shot both HDR because I can't just stop cold turkey. I got to kind of wean myself off of it. But I also shot the same photo just straight. And I'm playing around with different apps, but mostly Nlight, and finding that I can basically get all the detail out of the photo in Nlight, meaning I could get details in the shadows and highlights, but that straight photo is just so much sharper than the HDR. There's like a lot more detail in it. So I don't know. That's I think going to be like the next evolution in my photography.
Nice. I've been playing a little bit with the HDR option on the native camera app just to kind of bring out some more detail. I'm still playing with it. I think I have to do a lot of different tests because sometimes what I try to do, like, okay, so a couple days ago I took a picture of a sunrise, and if I was to bring the exposure to the sun coming up, it makes all the foreground just completely almost black. And I wanted to be able to have some detail in the foreground. So I exposed it for the sunrise, and then I think I dropped it, the exposure down, and did the HDR. And there is some detail, but I think I lost a lot of it when I dropped it down a bit. So I still need to play with that HDR function and come up with a good solution. Now, if it's just regular daytime and you're wanting to, get some good detail in the shadows, it works really well. But I think the extreme stuff that I'm trying to do, I have to find a happy medium so that I can get what the naked eye sees in my images.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And one of the challenges I found with, like, especially when the light starts getting low, with shooting just straight photos, and I find this to be the case with, like, a lot of apps, especially if you're not setting the exposure manually, if it's really trying to balance the picture out, you get kind of a washed out photo.
Yeah.
So I actually had a photo that I took this past weekend where I was using slow shutter cam, and you don't really get like a whole lot of control over the exposure in slow shutter cam. You can control the blur, the motion, but you can't really control the actual exposure, like how light or dark the picture is.
Yeah.
So what I found is when you have like a photo that is not very heavily saturated and doesn't have a lot of contrast to it, if you put it in an app where you can kind of work in layers, if you just duplicate the layer and then pick a blending mode like multiply or hard light or something to that effect, that really does a great job of bringing up the contrast and the saturation and making the photo look a little bit more like how you probably intended for it to look.
Okay. Huh. Dave in the chat room says with the Vivid HDR new 5-shot HDR, it brings the color color nice, but it can be very hard to keep crisp by hand. Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's what I'm running into, because I didn't really have too many complaints with Vivid HDR before, like when I was shooting with my 5, my iPhone 5, and then it was kind of right after it didn't actually work with the 6S Plus until they had this update where it now shoots 5 images.
Yeah.
And 5 images is good. It's just that, yeah, it doesn't seem to be as sharp handheld. I mean, if you're just posting to Instagram or something, then it's probably barely noticeable. But to me, it's just glaring that they're
so that's a iPhone 6S and 6S Plus feature for Vivid HDR. Does that work with the 6?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. Just, yeah.
I'll have to try that. And with that new tripod mount, you can actually just set up a tripod and probably get some really nice five-shot HDRs maybe.
Yeah, and I did that. I did get some HDRs that are sharp where I used the tripod mount. And then I just noticed that a lot of my handheld ones, they're not like wildly blurry. It's not like you really see motion blur. It's just that you could just tell that they're not crisp.
Huh. I might have to re-download Vivid HDR.
Yeah. I'm not knocking it. It's still a great app.
So are you going to write something up on your new process, or are you going to talk about it?
No, I can do that. I'm actually, we've been wanting to get this YouTube channel going.
Ooh, yes.
And Mark and I played with an app on our Macs a little while ago that would allow us to mirror our iPhones on the Mac and record it.
Yes.
And my Mac is ancient, very old, and didn't want to play nice with that, basically, is what it came down to.
You were asking it to do more than what it wanted to.
Correct. My Mac wants to sit idle and do nothing. That's what it wants to do. The most I could really ask from it right now is to allow me to do this podcast with you, and that's about it.
Woohoo!
All right. So count your blessings. So there's actually another way for me to possibly achieve this that I'm still playing with. I'm having some bugs, but I think it might work, and it basically involved me upgrading the operating system on the Mac to the latest operating system and using QuickTime.
Oh, okay.
If I could get it to work, then I will start recording videos where I show you right on my phone how I'm doing stuff.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be cool.
I need to look into something, see if there's anything with Windows that would do it. Probably not, but
yeah, I don't think they make any applications for Windows at all.
Yeah.
To do anything. I think Windows has like a calculator app and like Minesweeper, and that's about it.
I'm recording the show and doing all the sound bites and talking with Matt with just the power of my mind.
I don't know why I give you a hard time. I don't actually care if people use Windows or Mac. I'm not that hardcore about it.
I like it for the reactions because it's so easy to get a reaction.
Yeah, my situation now is that I've just had a Mac long enough now that I'm kind of entrenched in it, and
right.
It really wouldn't make sense for me to switch back to a PC.
I came real close almost a year ago and buying a because I was tempted to buy a Mac. Was it a MacBook Air, the small ones?
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted a machine to be able to do the show on, and ended up that I could use my machine that I'm using now. But if I wanted to go say, to Maryland or California or somewhere else and record the show, I didn't want to lug around the 17-inch laptop. And that's when I tried one of the HP Stream 7s to see if I could actually set up a microphone with it and either have Mark record or somebody else record at the time. And it worked. But now that I'm recording the show, I'm using the 17-inch laptop because it works. So there's really no point in me buying another device. So.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far. There's always a reason to have another device.
Oh. Never mind. I heard a noise and it was my wife. No. I was like, what in the world? I didn't hear it go past me. So I thought something was like burning down in the house. Oh, well, I'll cut that out. All right. So, well, cool. I've been doing some, you know, some shots here and there. Not as much as I'd like. Work got really busy. We had a new process happening with our system, and so I have had little time to actually do anything except work. Shocker.
Now did I see right? Did you manage to take a picture of a sunset?
I did.
I am proud of you.
Thank you.
That brought a tear to my eye.
I know. It was like the first day we actually had some sunshine in a while, and I was like, oh, wow. I pulled over. I'm like, all right. I'm getting out of the truck. I'm going to get the sunset. And then I was on my merry way to go do something that was inconspicuous and, you know, and worthwhile and all that. And then I got called, hey, we got a high profile job we need you to do. I'm like, oh, great. Executive vice presidents, the president and CEO will probably be there. And I'm like, oh, great. but it ended up after doing that, then they called me back again for the last couple days to work with these other crews. So it's like they ate up all my time, my creativity time, but that's all right. I got a weekend coming up to do some stuff, so
cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. So, this last week, we have been experiencing a lot of awesome images that you guys have been posting in our Facebook group about black and white photos. For the, what's it called? The weekly photo challenge. And I thought it would be a good topic to talk about, and black and white particularly, and, you know, kind of see, you know, why do we do black and white? What is it about black and white that people absolutely love? And maybe we could talk about some of our processes and other techniques that can go into getting a really good black and white image. So I wanted to start off by going to the Wikipedias. I hope you've heard of that before, because it's factual and always has all the information that you need. Well, it's a good source to be able to find some information. And so I pulled up the photography entry in Wikipedia and went down to black and white. And this is what the first paragraph says. Originally, all photography was monochrome or black and white. Even after color was readily available, black and white photography continued to dominate for decades due to its lower cost and its classic photographic look. The tones and contrasts between light and dark areas define black and white photography. It is important to note that monochromatic pictures are not necessary composites of pure blacks, whites, and intermediate shades of gray, but can involve shades of a particular hue depending on the process. The cyanotype process, for example, produces images composed of blue tones. The albumen print process. Albumen. Thank you. Print process, first used more than 150 years ago, produces a brownish tone. All right. So, and I think we, what's the term that we use for the brownish tone, black and whites?
You'd be thinking of sepia.
Sepia, that's it. I like sepia. And then, you know, after a while, it gets kind of old. But I thought it would be good to kind of talk about black and white. Matt, you have some experience with black and white film photography, correct?
Yeah, I've done that once or twice.
And what did you think of it when you were doing it?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. But it's funny that I got into photography because I liked taking pictures, right?
Yeah.
When I started taking a class and you know, I don't know what it's like to go to school now for photography, but you know, when I went to school in the late 90s, it was, you know, you went to photography 101 and you started out learning black and white.
Yep.
You know, a manual film camera, black and white film. And so a part of that is learning how to develop the film and make the print.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the dark room, you know, you're messing around with the chemicals, the developer, the stop bath, the fixer, and what, I forget what all the chemicals are called, but in any case, I think I liked doing that more than I liked taking the pictures.
Yes. Partially because you want to just see it rise up from the paper.
So here's the thing about, and I don't want to take this conversation somewhere where you didn't intend it to go.
I'm okay.
You kind of learn really fast when you're doing black and white photography in particular, that just because you set your controls on your camera, your f-stop and your shutter speed to record a certain way, doesn't mean that you have to end up with that in a print.
Correct.
Meaning that when you develop the film, you can do things that manipulate the images on the film. And when you create a print, there's loads of things that you can do in the dark room to manipulate a print. And I guess the reason that I'm thinking about this is because nowadays with digital photography, you know, you still have that negative connotation associated with Photoshop.
Right.
You know, like, oh, that image is Photoshopped. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we're probably not really any worse off now with whether or not an image is quote unquote real than we were before digital.
Oh, absolutely. I want to say, you know, from what you just said there, you know, when you do your test prints, you look to see, okay, do I have the correct exposure on the paper? And then you notice that there are areas that are lighter than others. And you're like, you know what? I need to burn that a little bit and be able to make it look correct with the rest of the or, you know, that's just way too dark. I need to, you know, use the dodging by, you know, putting something in the way of the light to keep it from burning into the paper. So there is manipulation. Anybody who thinks that pure photography is unadulterated, you know, a click of the button and that's it, they're kind of a little naive. Now, if you're talking about journalism, absolutely. Journalism, you don't want to manipulate your image because even a simple crop can change the whole story of the image. We don't talk a lot about regular photography on the show very much, but we do bring it up every once in a while. I think last week I talked about, I went through photography 101 and it was black and white and we used film and we had our projects that we had to do. We had to go in the dark room, develop the film, then develop the prints. And with that whole process, you appreciate what it takes to create a good image. Not to say that people today with digital photography or with their iPhone don't do the same thing. We just have different mediums to being able to do it. One of the things that article mentioned was why black and white was so prevalent is because it was cheaper. Color film was expensive, and even though it portrayed what we saw with our naked eye, a lot of people didn't use that process probably until the mid to late 70s when it became more prominent.
Yeah, and it's not only the cost too with color film is just also process. Harder and yeah. From a health standpoint more dangerous to develop. The chemicals involved in developing color film and color negatives are really, really bad for you.
I think that's why in the 70s and 80s they had the automatic machines that were able to, you just pop it in there, it pulls out the film, does all the processes, and then it spits out the negatives, and then they took the negatives and ran it through the machine to do the prints, and then next thing you know, the 1 hour photo place was born, just so that people didn't have to constantly work in an environment where they had to wear a mask and protective equipment just to get the color negatives and prints correct.
Yeah when I was going to school, our machine that did both film and prints was like a closed system, so yeah. You really didn't have access to the chemicals, but with black and white, when you're standing there in the dark room and you got these open tubs of chemicals, and they're also not good for you, but you could be around them for a while, without it making you sick or anything. So.
Right. So bringing it back to why we love black and white, there is a nostalgia to it. There is a simplicity and a complexity to it, all in one. And, I think for myself, it does take me back to my first time in the darkroom and, in the class setting in our lab and, taking an image, framing it on the paper and putting it through its processes and then watching that image float to the top of the page. To me, I was hooked. And I think I've mentioned that before. I'll never forget that. I wish I had my final project. I have some of my test prints from my final project, but I think by the time I remembered to go, to check, I think they had tossed them. But I wish I still had my final project. Do you still have any of your prints from when you took those classes?
I do. I have like some portfolios basically with a good majority of the prints, almost every single project.
You went further than just the introductory class, correct?
Yeah, I had I had quite a few classes, both color, black and white and color, and then I had other classes that were like studio photography classes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I only did the introductory one, and that was 1999. Digital was still in its adolescent stages, and film was starting to become a little how do you want to say it? It was starting to get towards the end of its run. So for me, it was, do I want to continue in film? You know, digital still too expensive. You know, film was starting to become more expensive, and so I kind of pushed it to the side. And then it wasn't until digital cameras became more affordable that I jumped back into photography. But so we talked a little bit about the history of black and white and sort of the processes. Why do people, you know, still love to do black and whites with digital? I'll start with you, Matt. Why do you like doing that?
Well, I think for myself and a lot of people, it's a way to take some of the reality out of the scene.
Yeah.
And to kind of leave like that color part of it, like open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And the other part of it too is that sometimes the colors don't mean anything. Like, it doesn't add anything to the photo, but the tones add to the photo. The lights and the darks are really what's more important than the actual color.
Yeah.
And so I think literally every time I do a black and white, it's because I feel like the color doesn't matter to the picture at all. It's not about the color. It's about the tones in the image.
Yeah. Oh, Dave brought up something that I didn't really think about. He mentioned that his wife had taken some classes in photography, and 35 years later, that the black and whites still hold up. I've looked through many photo albums with color photos and noticed that a lot of them have faded colors. And, I think over time, sunlight, the acids that are on the paper and other environmental conditions can cause color images to fade and change their colors. And, you know, black and white stays black and white. It may fade from bleaching or something like that, but there's not a whole lot of change in tone. Would you agree?
Yeah, but don't you think it's funny that like nowadays we're trying to get that faded that faded look, you know? We got our Instagram filters and our VSCOcam filters, and we're looking to create photos that kind of look like they've been sitting in a photo album since the 1970s.
Yes, I didn't really think about it until you mentioned it. Yes.
So that's just amusing to me, really.
Now, I do have to say that it probably works, especially if you're trying to do a period piece, or if you're say, like, you got a 1970s car, you got somebody dressed up in bell bottoms and their hair's done, and they're in an environment that looks like it was the 1970s. You know, applying those filters would be, I would say, key in helping to create that image. But yeah, I remember when Instagram first came out, I was using the filters, but then after a while, I got tired of the filters, and I wanted to see the image as it was. Now, if it was black and white, I would try the filtered black and white, or I would create the image in post using an app like Snapseed. What apps would you use if you were creating your black and white image on your phone?
I have a few that I like. I think a lot of times I will turn a photo black and white in Snapseed just to make sure I really want it to be black and white. But I might not ultimately use Snapseed for the conversion.
Right.
Although I do like those, I don't know, I have Snapseed in front of me, but there is a newer set of black and white filters in the app that I really, what's that?
Is it the Noir?
Yeah, I love those.
Filters, yes.
Yeah, those are super awesome. Yep, yeah, that's the ones. Thank you. I really find the black and white filters in VSCOcam to be really good. Plus the fact that you can tweak them. You know, you could go in and fine-tune things like contrast and stuff, which is really important, I think, in creating a good black and white. There's an app called Dramatic Black and White that I think is a really great black and white app. There's a camera app for shooting in black and white called M Pro.
Okay. Like
the letter M Pro. That's a great app.
That probably stands for Monochrome Pro.
I'm going to go with yes on that. Yeah, that's a really nice one. And you could even shoot black and white, obviously, in the native camera. You could shoot black and white in like PureShot and 645 Pro.
That's right. Yeah, 645 Pro has all the different film settings that you can use as if you're using that type of film in your phone.
Yes. And then On1 software used to have an app in the App Store. It was called Perfect Black and White. And that was a fantastic app, but for some reason they don't have it in the App Store anymore. What? And that makes me really sad.
They're dropping the ball.
Yeah, they're taking their mobile stuff in a different direction. But in any case, it's one of the apps I lost when I deleted all the apps off my computer. So I can't get it back.
Do you use Nlight a lot for any of your black and whites?
No, I hate the black and white in Nlight. It's the first bad thing I've ever said about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually, I only use Snapseed really. When I take my images, I'll put them into Snapseed, and I'll take there's like five or six different settings. There's normal. And then there's a higher contrast. Then there's a brightness one. There's a dark one. And then I believe a film. You know, they try to do the film. And I usually go for the contrast it's the first three. It's either going to stay normal or I'm going to do high contrast or the brightness setting on it. But then I go through and I will, they have another setting for filters, not like film filters, but color filters. So they have red, yellow, orange, green. And when you add those filters, especially if you're doing, let's say, black and white with film, a red filter would change dramatically the look of the landscape that you were shooting. The blues became darker. The reds became whiter. So if you added a filter, say a yellow filter, an orange filter, or a red filter to it, anything that had had to do with that tone of color would drastically be brighter. The opposite end of the spectrum would make it darker, so that you would have a much different image if you had not had the filter on there.
And a good example of that is like a landscape photographer that's shooting black and white would likely have a red or an orange filter.
Yes.
And what that would do is dramatically darken the sky. So if you had puffy white clouds in the sky, those clouds are going to stay nice and white, but your sky is going to go almost black.
Yes.
And it just adds a ton of contrast. It makes the scene look really dramatic. It's actually pretty cool. And you can do the same thing in the dark room with black and white. Most dark rooms, when you're making your print, so you've already developed your film and you decide you want to make a print. So basically, if people don't know, to make a print, you put your film in a thing called an enlarger. And all it is, it's basically a little bracket you put your film in, and there's a light that shines through your film and projects that image onto your photographic paper. And in that bracket, you could also put a filter, and you have all those same filters, but usually just red ones.
Yes.
But they'll be different. They were like numbered, and they were just a different like shade of red, basically, like either a lighter or darker shade. And that would have an effect on the contrast of your image also.
Yeah, it was I have actually some red and orange and yellow filters for a camera that I have that was my father-in-law's. And I tried taking one of those and putting it up against my iPhone to see kind of what it would do. And I don't know if it does exactly the same, but you can try those different things. But I do have to say that the apps that give you those effects may be better at it than just adding a straight filter to your camera. These are things that people don't know about, especially if you didn't take a photography class or you hadn't been studying photography. One of the things that we sometimes forget when we do this show, we take for granted that we think that people understand the same things that we do. So sometimes it's better for us to sometimes explain. So if you have been doing photography for years, this may be old news, but we have a lot of people that are listening that are new to this. And we're trying to do is help understand, what goes into a black and white photograph. What can you do to a black and white photograph? So if you had a green filter, all the greens in your images would just go dark. And so understanding how that works can give you a different look to your image.
The greens would actually get lighter.
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry. Yeah, same thing with red. If you use a red filter, all the reds would go white, all the blues would go dark, and then the green, all the greens would go light, and then whatever's the opposite end of the spectrum for the green would go dark. So it just that's another topic. Color, what's it called? Not color comp. Color theory. That's a whole nother topic. But sometimes understanding these different things will help you when it comes to your images. So, do you have anything else to add to that, or should we go ahead and move on to what we talked about? I'm sorry, our weekly photo challenge.
Let's move on.
All right. So this last week, and actually, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Post pick of the week.
All right, we're going to be picking our post pick of the week, but first, let's talk about our images. So this last week's weekly photo challenge was black and white, and we had over 80 submissions to this post. And I have to say, it is hard to choose just one because they were all really good. And it was almost as if we had held people back maybe from the week before when we did automotive, because there was a stark contrast between the submissions that we had the week before and this last week's. But I have to say, I loved all the work that was put in there. It was beautiful. It was fun to look at. And there were actually some that I was completely jealous for, you know, seeing it and going, oh, I wish mine looked like that. But what were your thoughts on this last week's weekly photo challenge, Matt?
Yeah, it was definitely night and day between last week and this past week, as far as submissions go. And I think the great thing about this topic was that it was so broad that, you know, literally people could post anything, you know, as long as it was black and white. And so the photos really ran the gamut in terms of like subject and composition and all that kind of stuff, which made it like even more exciting, I think, because you just didn't know like what you were going to see next.
Right.
So, yeah, this was a really great week. Very enjoyable checking out all the submissions.
Yeah. I mean, we had everything from landscapes to, the beautiful images of kids. There's one little girl with a guitar that I found fascinating. And a lot of, I have to say, really dark blacks and really light, you know, whites that were, there was a lot of contrast. The landscapes, I do have to say, were beautiful. I almost want to see what they look like in color. But, you know, that's almost, it's almost as if black and white says, all right, use your imagination. What do you see? What colors do you see when there's a void? And so it's a lot of fun. And plus, too, I think we probably would see a totally different image, or our focus would be totally different if the image had been in color also. So, all right. So having said that, every week after the weekly photo challenge, we choose an image to be our post pick of the week. And so far, all the images I think that we've received have been coming into our Facebook group. And I have to say that it is probably easier to post them on Facebook, and being able to show others your work, it's a lot easier. We use one post to be able to have people put into the comments their images, and then what's nice is that people can actually reply to that post and have a conversation. I think Dave said that he enjoyed seeing what people did, what apps that they used, where, you know, sometimes where they were when they took these images. And so, you know, I highly recommend that if you do want to participate with us in this weekly photo challenge, Go on to Facebook. You can go to tinyshutter.com and look for the Facebook link. And, you know, join the group. You will be amazed at what you see. And then every week we choose one image to be more or less our favorite, because it is subjective, the best image. And we use that to use for our image art, and also a way to highlight our listeners. So this week it is my turn to pick.
I felt bad for it.
I know. I saw that thread in the Facebook page, and he's like, oh, it's Joe's turn. Good luck, dude. And it was hard. I picked out an image, and then I had my wife go through the images to see, you know, if we would pick the same thing, and we were close. And actually, the image that I chose, when she saw it, she goes, oh, that's it. Yeah, that's definitely the one. And this week's post pick of the week, it was submitted by Melissa Moreland. She had a lot of images in there, but the one that I chose were of two seagulls flying in the air. And it was funny because the comment that she had put on the post was, an Alfred Hitchcock movie, anyone? Question mark. And I'm like, the birds. And that's Bodega Bay. And, you know, my wife and I went to Bodega Bay, 3 years ago, and stayed there. My wife's a big Alfred Hitchcock fan. And so we decided, hey, let's go to Bodega Bay, stay over there, and then go up the coast and, you know, and see some of the redwoods and in that area. So it has a little bit of a meaning to myself, but I have to say the image is pretty interesting. What do you think, Matt?
No, it's I'm like absolutely jealous of that picture. You know, it's like she caught it. That's kind of like one of those decisive moment type pictures.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an absolutely perfect composition, the position of the birds and everything. It's perfect.
Oh, one of the other things too is that, you know, every week we kind of will show each other what our pick is, so that, you know, we can see it ahead of time, you know, and come up with our own, you know, thoughts on it. And Matt's like, all right, I think this is the one. And he guessed it. He guessed the one that I actually was picking. And so it wasn't just me. Matt picked it also. But that should be one of our things, I think, that we should do, is go through the list and guess you know, which one the person's going to choose, to see if we're close or how far off we are when it comes to some of these images. But to pick the same one out of over 80 images, I thought was pretty cool.
Well, it just speaks to how freaking awesome this picture is.
Yeah, it is. So congratulations, Melissa. This is an awesome image. If you want your image to be chosen for post pick of the week, look for the thread for our weekly photo challenge on Facebook. Enter it in. You know, we don't have a limit on how many you can post, but I do have to say, you don't have to have 50 in there or anything. Not that Melissa put 50 in there, but you don't have to have 50 in there to get chosen. Sometimes it just takes one. But then, you know, I noticed that I think a lot of people were posting multiples because they had a lot and they probably couldn't choose between their own photos on which one they like best. So they added all the ones that they liked. And I have to say, they were beautiful images. You know, we say this every week. We hate that we can only choose one. But, you know, it's not that we choose the image on the person who posts it, but sometimes it works out where we've had a number of shows where we had twice or maybe three times in a row where we chose the same person. It's just the images are awesome. And so we, you know, we try to look at the images based on their merits. But this is a great image. So now we need to choose this coming week's weekly photo challenge. Do you have any thoughts on what you want to do, or should I start reading some of the lists of what people were putting?
Why don't you read from that list? I liked, I forget what the ideas were, but I know there was a couple in there that I really liked.
I think one of them was the,
Panorama. Greg McMillan said panoramas.
Yeah. Panoramas. Let's see here. Let me pull it up. I just had it. All right. Roma Robbins wants to do animals. She loves animals. And we have what she calls furry or animals. Ruth Podner put shadows. Greg Ellis said sunrises. I think he likes the sunrises because I think he just did a sunrise not too long ago. We have panoramics.
I think it's because the sun is always rising in Australia.
That's right. Jeff Eason says theme for the week should probably be my Thanksgiving dinner. And that might be a food photography theme. I think we...
How about instead of my Thanksgiving dinner... How about the theme is just Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving. Oh. Yeah. That's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm up for that. All right.
So
done.
If you want to post pictures of your Thanksgiving dinner, those certainly qualify.
I think I'll be salivating.
Well, people should start posting now so that I can figure out what to make. So I got to cook, and I haven't even decided yet.
Oh, I know what I'm going to post.
So are we? If we do this, are we excluding everybody in the in other countries?
Oh, that's right. Well, the Canadians had theirs. You know what? No. Because Thanksgiving could be for anybody. It's a holiday here, but what are you thankful for? And, you know, maybe you can post something that you're thankful for.
There we go. I like it.
Okay. Done. So this coming week's weekly photo challenge is going to be on being thankful. We'll call it Thanksgiving since it is a holiday here in the U.S., but I have to say that everybody should have a Thanksgiving holiday.
And it should be next Thursday.
That's right. Well, cool. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up? Because I think we might have a show.
Nothing that can't wait till next week.
Awesome. Okay. Let's do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
That's right. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Oh, when I'm done yawning here. hey, you can find me. I'm not bored. I'm tired. You can find me on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, the show notes, the YouTube channel, the Facebooks on tinyshutter.com. Go there. If you have any questions or you have a comment, you can email us at tinyshutter@gmail.com. And yeah, participate. We would love to see you in the Facebook. I know that we have a lot of listeners, and sometimes you're scared of, you know, posting something because we are our own worst critics when it comes to photography. But at the same time, you'll be amazed even on the community and the encouragement or the ideas that you will get when you are in the group. And there's topics and questions that do arise. There's awesome images that are posted. And a lot of inspiration, I have to say, in our group. And I've been in a lot of different groups, and I have to say, I am really proud to say that I am a part of this group, because it's very civil, it's very encouraging and inspiring all at the same time.
Very well said.
So, all right. Well, Matt, good show.
Thanks, you too.
All right, you guys, and we will see you next week, and I look forward to seeing your images on Facebook. So we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?